Hello, freaks and geeks, gals and ghouls. It is I, the villain of pop culture, Toxic J, but you can also call me Evil Dead Batman. And today, on this very screamful episode of Corpses for Conversation, we're going to do something a little different. We do have two new horror correspondents, The Final Guys, starring myself, Dimeback the Clown, and SoCal Leatherface. How are you, gentlemen?
How's it going, Jay?
What's going on, brother?
So this is the first episode of The Final Guys, so we're just going to jump right into it. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's get it.
So it is opening weekend of Scream 6 for 2023. How did you guys overall feel about this film before we get into everything else?
SoCal, you want to go first?
Going into the film, I really didn't have any expectations. I kind of want to just leave it open. So whatever kind of happens, happens. I rewatched the one from the previous year, and I was kind of hoping they wouldn't go the same route they did that way, making this whole thing like just like the want to make sequels of this Stab franchise. And I was really hoping for something new and fresh and different. The trailers kind of made it seem like it may go that way. So I was pleasantly surprised with how this film ended up turning out.
I'm the same way. I had no expectations going into it. Just from the trailer alone, I was like, okay, is there going to be multiple killers on this, like copycat killers? This one definitely surprised me. I loved it. Went back, watched probably like about four of the previous ones. I kind of skipped a couple of them.
I don't know if you guys know, I have a love-hate relationship with this franchise. It's not that I don't like it. I love the Ghostface character. I just hate the universe that it's in. Now, we're all, I guess you want to say, up there in age, gentlemen. So when the first one came out in 96, that's where it started to irritate me. I didn't notice it, obviously, when I was younger. It had all these rom-com or high school teenager type movie vibe to it. You know, you had Nev Campbell. You had, you know, Courtney Cox with Friends. David Arquette, and you know, Joshua Jackson in the later sequels, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I can't even say her name right, Rebecca Gayheart, like all that stuff. So to me, at that, when I first got introduced to this franchise, I'm probably gonna get hate for this, guys, but at this point in Wes Craven's career, to me it just seemed every movie that he's ever did like was just a flop.
What?
And he needed something to resurrect his career, and I mean, okay, props to him. He did it. I guess I don't want to say selling out. He needed to do something. And he did it with the Scream franchise. You know, Drew Barrymore, like I said.
He did go a different route with this one, too. He did try to, like, you could tell he threw in all the, like, the whole meta-ness of it. So it's kind of like, instead of trying to go for another serious movie where there is just, like, some type of serious ending, just kind of, like, throw the comedy into it so the horror fans can enjoy it. And at the same time, kind of catch all those nods to the other films. So he took a different direction, but I mean, maybe he was just trying to play into whatever was going on and then just throwing in whoever was popular at the time just to kind of like feed into it, you know?
The original was just the granddaddy of like the whole 90s era. You know, ever since then, you had the I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I had the Faculty coming in after that. Every time you think of 90s horror, you're always going to think of Scream.
Then, like, even the popular franchise from the 70s and 80s jumped on that. You know, look what Halloween did. Halloween H2O and Halloween Resurrection. If you look at all their, like, movie posters and covers, it had all their top stars. And then you had the killer in the little background. I hated that, man. I didn't care for that. And it was so annoying. I guess I kind of got used to it as time went on. But it didn't seem very, I don't know what's the right word. Real or convincing, because let's face it, the 90s, especially the late 90s, it sucked for everything.
I think when you think of slashers, you don't really think of 90s, you think more of the 80s and before that, you know, they were more big for slashers. So when they did bring it out into the 90s, perhaps they were just relying more on the popular stars of the era, throw them on the cover, their faces will get the you know, the tickets sold and the butts in the seats.
That's what it was all about in the 90s. It's just the pretty faces, the whole WB, you know, I don't know what was. In,
well, they had Dawson's Creek on.
Yeah, the Dawson's WB, Creek.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're trying to capitalize on that and trying to get a younger audience coming into the theater, you know, coming into horror.
For the format for The Final Guys, part of the movie Disposal, we're going to break down a little bit of everything. We're going to do the kill count, the gore meter, and of course the synopsis. And, you know, Scream 6 is an American slasher movie, which was actually released on March 10th, 2023. The runtime is a little bit long. It's 123 minutes. We spoke before we started recording. I guess it's like under 2 minutes from the last one. I didn't even realize the last one was like 124 minutes. Like I said it in our Terrifier episode, horror movies don't really need to be that long. I don't know why we're going down that route. It's just, I can't sit there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just the same thing we went through with Terrifier 2, talking about that, the length of the movie. Really, you can't sit there that long in a theater. Like, for me, I'm old, man. I got to go to the restroom, you know, multiple times.
Yes, yeah. I've been to a movie with you before.
Like an hour 30, hour 40, just perfect for a horror movie. But over two hours, like, you're really asking for it.
Yes, you know, I totally agree with you guys. I do know that Terrifier 2 did last quite a while. And, you know, it felt like the movie had like three endings. So every time I was ready to head out. This movie, like, it is over 2 hours, but the thing that made it actually fun and enjoyable for me personally is I saw it in that 4DX at the Edwards. So every time there's action, the whole seat just starts throwing you to the side, throwing you forward, throwing you back. There's lights flashing. There's like water thrown in your face. They keep you engaged. So you don't just want to lean back in the comfortable chair and just like catch some Z's. It definitely helps you get through the longer films. So I think I'm going to try checking out some more that are in that format.
What is it, like $50 of like seat or something? I don't know.
It's, you know, it's about the same as doing like an IMAX. You know, you want to go to an IMAX, you want to go later in the day. It's going to cost you like maybe about $20 or something for a ticket. It's about the same. The screen is not as big as IMAX. The screen's smaller. You do get those action seats.
So I did not like the last one. I hated the last one. Was it worse than the franchise? No, that title was to Scream 3, which was like total garbage. You know, but like the fact that they killed off Deputy Dewey in the last one, like you felt that humor was missing in this movie. You know, you need to me, in my opinion, you needed that character to do that. Like I was a little heartbroken when he died. Him going through all of this for so many years just to go out like that. That was like a slap in the face, man. I hated that ending. I was like, really? You went that fucking route?
When you're watching through the original trilogy, it's kind of like you're wondering when he would go out, because didn't he get stabbed in like each of the first three? So it's like every time you think something's going to happen, but it never ends up happening.
I guess that, and that's the problem with this new one. Since the time of recording this, before I get into everything else, you know, the budget was only 35 mil. And as of right now, it stands at $67.1 million. Yeah, of course, they greenlight Scream 7. And I'm pretty sure at the end of this run, hey, let's do part 8. You know, it's for suckers. I guess we're in that category too, no matter if we want to love it or hate it.
I know Ghostface is going to put butts in the seats.
See, if they want to do a sequel, because they leave it open, the fact that Neve Campbell is not in this film, there were, you know, arrangements with payments that didn't work out. She wanted more money. She deserves more money. They didn't want to give it to her. She's not in this movie. But they didn't just like kill off the character. They just kind of set her on the side. Kind of like if they do make a next sequel and they could, you know, if they want to pay her the money, they could bring her back. Her coming back will put the butts in the seats again because Neve Campbell is back.
Like I said, I had no expectations about this movie whatsoever. And I wasn't even going to see it. But like I said, we wanted to review this. So you got to do what you got to do.
Going into a film with no expectations kind of is the way to go if you just don't want to be disappointed. If you go in with high expectations, you're expecting this, expecting that, it seems like it'll only lead to disappointment. I go into most films these days with just a clean slate and just say, I'm giving you a chance to impress me. You either will or you won't.
That's why I hate watching trailers for movies, because just recently, not even recently, they've been putting a lot in the trailer that just gives the whole movie away. Just like, I hate to bring up other movies, but like the Evil Dead Rise movie is coming out. Like the Red Band trailer basically shows the whole movie in that thing. You even see the ending in it. You know, I try to stay away from trailers as much as possible. You know, it kind of kills the movie for you.
The thing I appreciated about the trailer for this movie is that they actually gave it a false narrative. They actually changed scenes in the trailer that were not actually in the movie. Particularly the one with the ladder scene at the window. It makes you think that he's going to, like, he's right behind somebody else. When you watch the film, you end up finding out who it really is.
and they're putting audio in with different scenes too in the preview too. So it's like, oh wait, this audio was here instead of what it was in the trailer.
Some movies actually do that, especially with horror films or even action films. I'm like, wait, that wasn't there. Why isn't there? It's a marketing thing. So I get that part. All right, gentlemen, we're going to get to the good stuff. Like when I read it, I was like, oh, okay. It makes sense now. Was this the biggest body count in the series? I'm not entirely sure. I don't do the kill count for the other ones.
I'm not too sure about that one.
We'll do the kill count. First death of the film was Samara Weaving.
Oh,
oof. I really appreciate her in films. I look forward to when she's there. I didn't know she was going to be here. When I seen her, I was like, this is great.
I kind of cried a little because that's Bill's daughter. Come on, you know? There's not really that many alleys in New York, but yet there was one right here, which, by the way, it wasn't filmed in New York. It was filmed in British Columbia, which I was like, oh, okay. Then I started to reminisce. I'm like, oh, wait, you don't see Times Square. When you film in New York, you have to do a scene in Times Square. But that wasn't even here in the movie.
They did throw in other kind of like scenic shots that you see in other movies that take place in New York, like scenes that may have been in The Matrix, scenes that were in John Wick, but never with the characters in it. Like they just took those scenic views and pasted them into the movie.
It looked way more like upstate New York to me than it would Times Square, downtown New York, you know, New York, New York.
If you're on a phone call with somebody and they tell you to go in an alley, would you guys actually do it? Oh, wait, let me take that back. Are you guys dumb enough to do that? I hope not.
Hell no.
No way, man. That's like super sketchy. You're a chick alone in New York City, you know, however knows how late it is. And someone says, hey, you should come down this dark alley and try to meet me halfway. I ain't doing that.
Doesn't matter if it's New York, LA, or Beverly Hills, man. I was like, I am not going down the dark alley like that.
Yeah, but she did, like, okay, you know. And what happened? Boom. She takes a buck right to the gut. Over and over and over again. And that, you know what? That's the way they started out this movie was a little different from the other ones, which I appreciated. What was it? Less than 10 minutes in the movie, they already revealed the killer, which was Face Flash reveal. Thompson, you know?
Face reveal. Yep. You know, the Spider-Man like, bully himself.
Yeah, you know, I guess like he was heartbroken about who Spider-Man was, so he just wanted to go on a killing spree.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what kind of gave it away for me too. I was like, oh wait, is this gonna be something different with Scream? Is this gonna be just a bunch of copycat killers capitalizing on the whole serial killer franchise? You know? And be like, oh yeah, okay, and it's just gonna be a story of just a bunch of random people. Like, wait, what the hell's going on here?
I think it's like right from the start, they throw you in with the phone ringing, that whole thing going, go down the dark alley. They're intentionally throwing those tropes in there that you're expecting, like it's been like every other Scream movie. You think they're just doing it intentionally and you're like, okay, I get it. It's going to be just like all the rest. And I think once they take that mask off the killer, that's like kind of like letting you know, this isn't going to be like all the rest of the films. This one is going to be different. Even if they would have stayed with that kind of plot throughout the film, where it's kind of like, now you know who the killer is, or maybe you only know who some of them are. I still wanted to just like, I was down for the ride.
All right, we're going to go to kill two, which it was a kill off screen. Obviously, we go back to Flash Thompson's apartment. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he was watching Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for obvious reason, this film was presented by Paramount Pictures, who owns the rights to the Friday the 13th franchise in their early installments. But when you start to see things unfold, you know, I don't know. I just didn't really care for that scene. And it was really like, come on, man, knock it out. I told you not to use the monitor on me or whatever the fuck he said. It was
I just want to practice on you.
Yeah, that sounded weird to me. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I stood quiet through the whole movie. Like, I guess I was more concentrated on just taking notes and dissecting the movie than just sit back and enjoying the film. Of course, I'll watch it again, but at this point, I'll just wait to streaming or I'll just pick it up on Blu-ray. One or the other. You know, Flash goes to the refrigerator. You know, Ghostface 2, I guess you want to call it. Tells him to open it. And he sees his partner in crime decapitated in the fridge. Obviously, he was killed off screen. Kind of reminded me of Friday the 13th Part 2. And I think that's what they were going for.
They did reference that as well, I believe.
Exactly. And yet again, gets stabbed in the gut multiple times. You know, and just the way how his expression on his face, just look, I know no one can see me, but it was like, you know, just I was trying not to laugh when it came to that.
That kill does have my favorite line from the movie, though, when he's just laying there trying to hold his guts in, falling down to the floor. And he just looks up. He's like, but what about the movie? And he's just like, fuck your movie.
You know, and that wasn't the worst part of the movie or the scene in that Dimebag. But like when I saw that Ice Nine Kill sticker, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. Like,
shit. I always get a lot of hate for Ice Nine Kills.
I mean, must be a super cool guy. You've met him multiple times, but his music's not for me. But the horror movie theme and the moniker, it just doesn't. I'm not into it, man. But, you know, power to you. You know, whoever likes him, cool.
I understand. I totally understand. Easier to buy concert tickets.
So what I didn't like about this, and I get for the majority of like I said again, the normies, you know, you have to have a character to recap the Scream franchise or any horror movie franchise. And I'm sitting there rolling my eyes. I'm like, oh, okay, again. You know, it's happened multiple times in more than one sequel, or not even in the Scream franchise. I think at this point in time, people would have got the hang of it already. You didn't need to go and explain that. You know, I think it was just for the stupid people. No offense to the stupid people.
You got to make sure everyone's up to speed.
This cast is pretty much the same cast as the previous film. And that's why, like I said, you know, I'm not going to name who's in it and what, you know. Like when Sam's character was talking to her psychiatrist, like, oh, come on, tell me, open up, you know. I thought it was hilarious when she finally did. He totally freaked out. No, this session's over. I'm like, you asked her. And she told you finally, and you're like shitting bricks.
She was just more worried, I guess, about her sister. It seems like that's like the whole overlooming thing of the whole film is her constant concern for her younger sister. So I guess she's even spending her own therapy sessions just talking about her, that the guy is finally just like, but why don't you tell me about you? Like, you went through this too. So what did you go through? And then, yeah, when she finally lets him in, drops the bomb, Billy Loomis's daughter. He shuts down. He doesn't want to hear it anymore.
He's like, hell no.
Call yourself a psychiatrist.
The fact that she comes out and says it felt good to kill. I don't know how I felt about that. I'm like, okay, are you trying to make that character like sinister looking, or it's just damaged goods? This person went through a really bad trauma and just seeing if it was right or wrong.
They do keep making it seem like because you're Billy Loomis's daughter, it means that you should too become a murderer. And every time you ever do something bad and you like the way it feels, it's only because your father was a serial killer.
I'm the same way. It's like, really? Just because your dad's a serial killer, you have to lead in his footsteps? I'm like, eh, I don't know. You got a lot of people like, I don't even want to have anything to do with him.
The Ghostface 2 calls the Carpenter sisters on the cell phone, does the typical, I'm stalking you, blah, 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 blah. Then the way how he introduced himself when he ran out from like that little alley or wherever he was from, I don't know. It seemed a little awkward to me. What did you guys think? I just somewhat off about it.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a Halloween, like a prank almost, like somebody dressed up as just.
That's what I thought too.
Killer? I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and then when you see him like continuing to run, I'm like, oh, that's Ghostface. I'm like, okay. They run into the liquor store. What is it called? The bodega?
The bodega.
Okay, so I wasn't concentrating on the name. So, and this is like we were talking about this yesterday. Now the kill count in this liquor store, and we've seen a lot of pages, a lot of videos. They killed two people. No, it's actually three. It's hard to distinguish because there were two bald guys, and how the scene was shot, it could look like the same guy, but it was actually two.
And they only do show one in the trailer. They only show one. You have to watch the film to see the other.
The second guy that came into frame and then he killed him, I don't know why. I pictured him just like he was trying to run and then he just tripped. And then just goes, so he just stabs him in his throat. I do like the fact some people were complaining like, oh, Ghostface doesn't use a gun or a shotgun. I'm like, did you even pay attention to the other ones? He does.
But this is the first one where he actually used a gun with the costume on. when they, as soon as they take off the costume, then they have the gun. But this is the first one.
I did like that shotgun to the face, though. Now I'm trying to debate, like, what was a better kill? Was it, like, the Ghost-Faced or Art the Clown's shotgun blast, you know?
Well, with Terrifier, too, I mean, they wanted to keep that all on camera. They wanted people to see every, like, little gory inch of it. And I felt like this one was more off-camera than anything.
Yeah, that's kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, you saw a little blood splatter against the refrigerator, the cooler or whatever. That was it. Just a jolt and the blood splatter.
Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, but they did make reference to Scream 2 when Tara was at the college party. One of the guys do go out and they ask her if she's going to pledge to Omega Kappa Zeta, which was the same female fraternity that was in the second Scream movie.
All those fraternity names sound the same to me, so I couldn't even tell you if that was true or not.
It had me wondering if they, like, literally tried to film this sequel around the same area they filmed the original Scream 2.
Well, I know some of the Scream 2 was actually, the movie theater scene was filmed out here in L.A., in Pasadena.
And then Scream 2, was they were in college too, right?
And yeah, exactly.
This one in college. Coincidence?
I did like that in that party scene where, you know, that dude got tased in the nuts. That shit was hilarious.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and you know, did you notice that the camera kind of focused on that for a bit? Like, you know?
That had to be painful.
Yeah, it made me like squeamish. I'm like, ugh.
So what was that better? That one or the knife to the dick in Terrifier 2?
Oh, I mean, that guy got tased, but he could still use his junk, you know. Art just like totally like he totally gave him a sex change right there. With the incidents that happened a year prior, everyone looks at Sam, you know, she killed her boyfriend. She says outcast and everyone hates her, calling her a bitch, murderer, all this other stuff. I felt for her character. How'd you guys feel about that whole like situation?
I feel like it was touching on the same thing like in Halloween Ends with the whole Corey Cunningham. One person goes through an incident and then the whole town blames them for it. But I mean, she, it seems like everywhere she goes, Woodsboro or New York City, it just seems like everyone just knows who she is. And they only know one side. They don't want to listen to her side. So, I mean, I don't think it's fair. But what do you do when the masses think you're evil, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, you definitely feel for her. You feel sorry for her.
The only returning character, the original franchise, was Courtney Cox. I have to say that name and laugh all the time. Like, you think you would change your name, you know? Anyways. Gale Weathers was doing Gale Weathers stuff in this movie, just like she did in the original up to now. That wasn't watered down or changed, which I really appreciated.
That was another thing that they referenced from Scream 2. I know they brought a lot of Scream 2 into this because it is the sequel. It is the requel sequel, so they wanted to bring a lot in. In Scream 2, when Gale Weathers first sees Sydney and they're talking about the book, she wants to try to get an interview. She punches her. In this film, the same thing. She made another book. She tries to go up to the sisters. And then one does try to reach out for a punch, and she's like, I've been through this before. But then we got the next sister coming on in with the left hook. That was great.
That was actually a good left hook, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she put her whole body into that.
I'm going to mess with Wednesday Addams, bro.
You know, speaking on the topic of that, a year ago, no one knew who Jenna Ortega was.
Yep.
You know, she was in Scream 5. She was in X. They just thought she was just some other actress. But obviously with this whole cult phenomenon that is Wednesday on Netflix, she totally like blew up. You have all these fans now. I'm like, where were you a year ago, you know?
And then she was in the, what was it, the sequel to The Babysitter, I think, with Samara Weaving.
Oh, she was in there, huh?
I still haven't seen those movies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very gory.
I haven't seen a whole lot of her work, but from what I have seen, I like her. Surprisingly, you know, could she be the next like generation of Scream Queens? Who knows? Only time will tell. She's really good at horror, at least so far.
I get a lot of Michelle Rodriguez in her. Every time I see her on screen, like especially as an action role, like could she be the next Michelle Rodriguez? Who knows? You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see her in a Fast and the Furious, though. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. I hate those movies, man. But
they keep making
but,
them.
I could see, yeah, they're trying to play catch up with all like the Friday 13th and Halloween. I'm like, I know it's going off topic. You're going from like from street racing to super spyness.
At this point, it's just that most of that cast needs work and they don't do much else than the Fast and the Furious films.
What the thing is too, this movie was being obvious for what they were trying to do. That kind of annoyed me a little because it's like something we've seen before. And going back to the tagline, you know, New York, new rules. Yeah, it was New York. Well, Canada. To me, it felt like the same rules. It just kind of just switched it up a bit. So I think they kind of came up with something a little better.
Should have just left New York out of it.
Period. Yeah. I see Dimebag. He was just like, you know, we're trying to find alternatives here.
Yeah, it's so, like, why mention New York in the tagline?
Anyways, back to the kill count. So kill 7 was Sam's doctor. I mean, he got it pretty gross. You know, he got stabbed in the nose, in the goddamn nose.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the knife was wiggling. And then he's like, his head kept bouncing off like the door. You know, I was like, God damn, that's a bad way to go.
And before he goes, they always have to throw out the typical, like, isn't it a little early for Halloween? They always have to say that.
Which this movie takes place supposedly on Halloween, but it didn't feel like Halloween. Yeah. It just felt like one big frat party. What about kill 8? Well, supposedly kill 8, which was the slutty roommate. Ghostface enters their apartment. Ghostface doing Ghostface things, you know, hacking and slashing. I did like the fact that he removed all of their like weapons. How did he sneak in without them knowing? I mean, you got to be like dumb or death. She gets supposedly killed off screen, you know, whatever.
You just hear like hustling going on inside the room. They assume that she's having a fun evening with the gentleman of the evening. And then once they get the picture from their friend across who lives in the building across or the room across, that's when they know that she's actually being attacked. That's when they know they want to go up to the door. She's actually thrown out of the door. And then you do see her briefly. And then you're just to assume that she's dead.
I think, was it the dad? Well, I don't want to give it away too early. I guess they switched the bodies on that. That's what they're doing.
I mean, even if you were trying to, like, you know, it's okay. I mean, towards the end, you know, they explain how they made her look dead. I'm like, dude, you literally only had what, like 3-4 minutes? How did you get all that on to make yourself look like you were murdered in like 3 minutes?
What?
You know, my favorite, actually, my personal favorite death in the whole film was actually 8 or 9, depending, you know, we'll get into the whole like towards the end, but which was Mindy's girlfriend.
Monica.
I did it. Okay. She got stabbed. Who doesn't get stabbed in a Scream movie? But it was how she died was like, ugh. Obviously, you know, like we see in the trailer, going across one apartment to another inside with the ladder, and then Ghostface is fucking with the ladder. And then obviously she falls to her death, but the way she hit the garbage can, Jesus Christ, man.
That was some Owen Hart shit.
Oh,
wow.
Ouch.
Another question. Who the hell has a 12-foot ladder in their apartment?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. He just pulls a ladder out of nowhere.
But and it was so like it didn't bother me. Here, take this. And just like, I was like, oh, okay, you know? Is that how he's sneaking over and banging Sam, you know?
But see, that was something that maybe could have had the viewers thinking that, oh, he's Ghostface, because why does he have all these things just lying around? I think it was to mislead the audience, to make you think he's a suspect.
I guess. But for the kill that was after that, which was another kill off screen, you saw the guy, was he gutted or decapitated? I don't remember in the bathtub.
It just looked like he was sliced up a lot. You just see a lot of slices. His head was still kind of, you know, still on, but there was just a lot of blood all over the tub and slits all over him.
Now that I think about it, yeah. You know, they said this is the goriest Scream ever, but there's actually a lot of kills that were killed off screen, out of focus. You know, Gail's boyfriend, she's talking, oh, it's for you, you know, it's the killer. You know, you see him calling police, and then, yeah, he gets, like, tackled by Ghostface, and you don't really see what happens, and then the typical, he's get thrown through a door or a wall. I don't remember what it was, but
bookshelf.
Yeah, Dimebag. Like my favorite part in that scene though was like, oh, can you, when Gale Weathers, hey, can you hold on for a second? And you're, huh? Or what? Like he was so surprised, like, bitch, you hung up on me kind of type thing.
What?
I'll give it that. That was a first. You know, that made me chuckle. Gale Weathers' character was always second to Sydney in all the franchise. I like this scene because it gave Gale her moment. When Gale judo throwed Ghostface, I was like, oh, snap. I mean, she's been taking like some kind of self-defense, you know, because that was pretty good.
She's got to protect herself against Sydney.
You know, and then we have our first, you know, spoiler warning again. Gale gets stabbed and gets stabbed pretty bad. And you think she's dead. And then they kind of wait for a few minutes. Oh, it's a faint pulse, but we still got it. And then, you know, and then you don't see her again. I mean, she'll obviously be back for part 7 or something.
Yeah, they mentioned that, I guess at the end, that she was going to be okay and that she'll be released from the hospital. Yeah, she'll be back.
For the love of me, I cannot remember the returning character. I mean, she was from Scream 4.
Kirby.
Yeah, okay, Kirby, yeah. I think of the Nintendo character, you know? Kirby. Who was the actress that played her again?
Hayden Panettiere.
I can't say that name. Like, I can't say any other names. You know? Yeah. This gave her a little more depth in the character, which I really liked in part 4. She was a background character, but I do like how, you know, this takes place, I believe, 12 years later from part 4. By that time, she's FBI agent. I like that returning character. There's a whole cat and mouse game with, like, who is he or who is Ghostface, you know, just like all the other ones. I didn't like the detective. Detective Bailey, he was a little annoying.
Ever since he was introduced, you find out that her roommate Quinn, her father, is a cop. So naturally, when they get called into the police station, it's her father that's the one that's like doing it all. You know, he's like, I'm going to be the one on your case. Do you feel comfortable with that? I mean, I could change it if you don't. They wouldn't really have enough reason to not. So they were just going to go ahead and let in. As soon as that kind of went down, I'm like, that's a red flag right there. Like, that's kind of coming off as obvious. The new roommate's father is a cop, and then he's really involved with everything that's going on. When you've watched enough of these, especially when you're in the sixth of a franchise, and especially after you have characters like Randy and the other Meek twins, it's like they're telling you the whole time what to be focusing on. They are telling you, they, you know, if you paid attention in the first remake last year, Dewey called it right off. He called it right off right when they got to him. He said it's the love interest. You know, it's kind of like these movies are telling you what to look at, but it's just you yourself wondering, should I believe it or not? And then so you choose not to, but if you just did, you would understand who the killers were.
Especially in that bodega scene, you could definitely tell that's like cop movements, just the way he was stepping, walking around the store, the way he was stalking them. Yeah, that was total cop vibes coming out.
Dude,
of that.
And what I liked about this Ghostface is he wasn't like a bumbling teenager. You can clearly tell it was an older dude or person. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, you could tell it was like a cop or just someone like it was like a veteran.
Which kind of, you know, gave you that false sense. It's like, oh, maybe it's somebody coming back from the past. Like, let's say Stu. Like, I was hoping it was Stu.
Yeah, that was the theory.
He was talking to Gail on the phone. He's like, oh, I've known you for a while. This is like, this is the first time, you know, talking to you. I was like, yes, it's Stu.
And then when you find out, you're like, no, it's not Stu.
I would have not been mad if it would have been Stu. I would have been like, everybody called it. And if they were right, I would have been, that's fine. I was hoping for it.
I did like the subway scene. It was one big homage to like Friday the 13th part 8.
That was one of my favorite scenes as well. Partly because, you know, they had all of the people with their costumes on. You can see all the different franchises that are being referenced in the end of the previous film. When Jenna Ortega, you know, kind of finishes off.
The tension was there, though. You could feel the tension. You know, just like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know if the scene was too long or I was just waiting. Like, come on, guys. Come on. Just do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too long. So it was cool, though. I mean, it definitely had that tension.
When they do get separated and only half of their party gets into the first subway car, the other two friends are left out and then the train goes away. If you look on the wall and all over, you just see 96 everywhere. I feel referencing when the first screen came out in 1996.
I did not notice that. All of a sudden, you know, they got this idea, hey, let's lure Ghostface to the shrine of all these other Ghostface from the past. And they're like an abandoned movie theater. I'm like, okay, this doesn't sound very good, but, you know, all right, whatever. You know, the love interest between Chad and Tara, I actually wanted them to, like, I'm like, just, dude, just kiss her already, you know?
Man, I can't watch this.
Come on, get on, get on.
I did appreciate, like, you know, when they finally kissed and you have the Ghostface, or Ghostfaces. Yeah, at this point, there's two Ghostface just shanking him to death. So you think, anyways, I'm like, I'm going to bring out my, like, inner Zom out here. Getting shanked, what, 30, 40 times? That's what I felt like. It's like, there's no possible way that you can actually get shanked that much and still be alive.
Oh, you would have bled out.
You know, it just how they were holding his hands up, like he was on a cross or something, and he was just getting stabbed, and he had, like, enough energy, run. I'm like, no, you probably wouldn't be able to speak, but yeah. It's a horror movie.
And you just got to go in and turn off your brain, man.
Yeah. You know, off subject here, speaking of Zom, you know, he's not here with us. I don't know if you guys know, but, like, back in, like, 2003, he actually got bit by a zombie. He went to a doctor, found this kind of, like, weird serum, like something out of the reanimator, pumps himself full of that just to kind of stay somewhat normal. Ran out of medication, so he had to go to buttfuck Egypt to see Dr. Frankenstein, Count Dracula, just to get his dose in. So, yeah. And for Evil Ed, well, he's locked himself in, like, a cabin, and I still haven't heard from him since. So there you go.
Thoughts and prayers go out to them.
So we get to the part where obviously the killers are revealed. Now, I wasn't really a big fan, other than the first one. Like, you know, you had two killers in the original, and then it kind of just, that trend continued. As bad as part three was, I think it was just one killer. I always liked that, just one person doing everything. Having three, well, technically five killers in one movie, that was a little much. And the big reveal was just like, oh.
Yeah. No.
What did you guys actually think?
It was just an extension of the killers from the last movie. It was just like, really? I was expecting more from the killers. Like I said, I was expecting Stu, but, you know, I didn't get that. But
you got to be some kind of messed up to involve your kids
right. As
killers, because your other son was a psycho in part four, all because the whole meta thing, you know, the Scream or Stab franchise was just stale and not making a really all that. You know what? I think I made a mistake. Was it part five, right?
It was part five.
Yeah, okay. See, like,
but it's not your fault because they just called it Scream and threw the number away.
You know, you had your slutty daughter as one killer, and you had your, yes, you should have listened to the horror expert on it could always be the nerdy guy. Turns out it was the nerdy guy,
right.
You know? But then he was a little psycho, and they both break off, you know, fighting each other. I at first when the reveal, I was like, eh, okay, whatever. But, like, some of the fight scenes and interactions between the characters were pretty entertaining, though.
They were. Especially the one scene where, was it after he stabbed, what was his name? Tara's boyfriend. And they just did the, grabbed the knife and then.
It's Chad.
Yeah, Chad. There you go. When they grabbed the knife, they both simultaneously wiped the blood off the knives. That looked pretty badass.
I never liked that. I mean, man, I've been hanging out with Zom too much. I feel like there's a haterade in me right now.
Haterade.
Yeah, so.
Well, don't shed a tear. Haterade is here. The new Haterade Thirst Quencher non-fruit juice comes equipped with 30 milligrams of potassium, 14 grams of carbohydrates, and 100% haterism. Oh, and don't forget the electrolytes with all natural flavors, plus a numerous flavored variety such as orange, fruit punch, grape, and plenty more. So to requench what you love to hate, drink Haterade.
It's good stuff, man. What can I say? I did like when when Jenny Ortega's character, Tara, just twists the knife in the back of his throat.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And you see, like, the facial expressions and her hand motion. I was like, okay, that's pretty rad right there. I like that.
Hell yeah, that was pretty awesome.
You know, who doesn't love like a straight bullet to the head to a villain? You know,
right in front of your dad.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you see his face. Well, you can't see my expression anymore, but like, you know, I'm like, you did this to your kids. It's right? Your fault, you know.
I figured if he was standing that close behind her, I figured that the bullet would go through her and then exactly. Like hit him. At least like they should have just had him at least hitting the shoulder. He just kind of like was standing exactly behind her till you can't see until she falls down and the bullet just got stuck in the middle of her brain or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like I mean, like her, she must have had a hard head or something from giving head too much. I don't know. The final battle between Detective Bailey and Sam. Actually, I actually quite enjoyed that. I didn't think I was, but like I was like, oh, okay. Especially when, you know, Skeet Ulrich's character is talking to her and like, you know, Billy Loomis, like, oh, you know, you love to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then she finally puts on his like ghost face costume.
Yes. When she takes his knife and she picks it up and he's like, good choice. I like that moment.
The de-aging on him, it was better in this film than it was in the last one.
Yeah.
He looks like he just wore a lot of makeup. So yeah, I'm glad just, he like, came
reflection in the glass. That's all you saw.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of played off pretty good. I'm glad, you know, it was nice to see him come back even for the smaller roles. And I think going forward, that's going to be like a thing now. Eventually, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think that's Stu's going to come back sooner or later.
Taking a freaking TV dropped on your head. I'm like, for the Scream franchise, that's not.
You know, and have Ethan Bailey get killed by a television.
Well, I mean, he got a freaking knife in the mouth and then twisted in his mouth, and he still came back.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with this movie. It had a lot of fake deaths. The way they killed people, like, oh, that guy's dead. Nope, he survived. He comes out, drums at somebody, or like, oh, no, he's still alive. Detective Bailey dies. At first, I thought it was Kirby because how they played it off, it kind of just reminded me very like Matthew Lillard's character. Oh, you know, he's the killer and all that stuff. Like, so I was like, oh, it is him. I was like, wait, no. Oh, shit. Okay, whatever. All the main characters lived. Like, I was like, okay.
They're the core four.
Yeah. And like, I was literally like messaging you guys while I was still watching the movie. Oh, it's kill count number 08. Never mind. I was like, really? Chad lived. That guy got reconstructive body surgery and he still lived. Overall, we're going to go to the gore factor. Now, scale to 1 to 5, gentlemen. What do you guys think? I'll start with you, Dimebag.
I give it a 5.
Definitely really? 5.
Taking away all the off-screen ones, like the ones that you actually do see, were actually pretty good. Like the death of Detective Bailey, where she stabs the shit out of him, and then Tara's like, oh, wait. She stops for a second, and then she's like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, let the police take care of it. Then she's like, you know what? I forget. Did Detective Bailey say something to her? I forgot.
I don't remember, but I think yeah, Jenny Ortega's character was like, it's okay, you can finish
it's
it.
Okay.
You know? Something like that, right?
Knife straight to the eye, and she's like, you fuck with family, you die.
You know?
Bang, right to the eye, dude. That was just sick, but yeah, I would definitely give it a 5 on the gore.
What about you, SoCal?
I'm not to give this movie a 3 when it comes to the gore, personally. I mean, if it's a 5, I want to see closer to Terrifier, limbs being chopped off on screen, guts on the wall. I'm giving this film a 3. I did enjoy the brutality behind it, but at the same time, when you leave and you think about all the kills, you're just like, a lot of them were just stabbings. I mean, it is Scream. Stab is their thing. A lot of people were just knifed, but I did enjoy the added brutality. People got stabbed several times. When Annika is getting stabbed, you could actually see some intestines coming out. Yes. I was kind of wondering if they were going to play into that when she's on the ladder and maybe you see like a, you know, an intestine start hanging out. For that, you know, I gave it praise, but I'm still going with a 3 for me.
I'm probably going to have to agree with you too. 5 is a little much. And like people were like, oh, it's like the goriest. And then when I saw it, I was like, it seems like a typical like gore fest for a Scream movie. I didn't think any much different. With that being said, gentlemen, overall, where does this rank up in your Scream rankings of the films?
See, like everybody else is saying, this is definitely the second best. As far as the original being the best, this one being the second best, as far as brutality. And then, of course, Scream 2022. All the other ones, I was like,
Leatherface.
I got to agree with Dimebag. The original always has to be the best. It's what started it all. It's what got you coming back all these years. But when it comes to just like the story arc and the way this movie's delivered, yeah, like we said earlier, it's over 2 hours long. But for me, it didn't quite feel that way because I was engaged. I was paying attention. I was, you know, trying to find out who the killer was. For a movie to be that long and keep you engaged, they have to be doing something right. So I would say it's the second best in the franchise.
Well, gentlemen, I think we all agree on that. I actually think I don't know, but I think it was, yes, it's my second favorite one because obviously the original. But to me, I think it was like the most darkest one. That's how I feel.
Yeah, definitely darkest.
And I like how the mask wasn't like your typical mask. They kind of zombified it. And I know those masks are available. You can get them in, you know, because they make a zillion type of ghost face mask. Definitely ranks up there as number two. And like I said, like my bottom is part three. It's still pretty shitty. I said that again, and I'll say it a billion other times.
Yeah, I couldn't get past that one, man. I started it, and I was just like, oh, God.
You're like, skip.
Yeah.
You know? Halfway so, through. Are you guys ready for part seven?
Ghostface in space.
I'm definitely looking forward to seven, see where to go with it. Especially at the end when Sam is just sitting there, looking at the mask, and then she just drops it, but still is like, what's going through her head at that moment? And then let's see if they bring back Neve Campbell.
Pay the woman.
Yeah, definitely pay her. She deserves it, like you said.
I was thinking of in this movie, I was wondering if there was going to be some type of Billy Loomis possession. They keep talking about the ghost inside. She sees him. What if they're saving that for part seven? He has a moment to come out. And what if he has a moment to come out to meet his old partner, Stu?
Oh, dude.
See, then they're following like the material of the Stab movies, you know, like doing like supernatural or just weird shit. Just I'm like, okay, now I think at that point you need to just slow your roll.
Or just throw all the rules out the window and just that's what they should have had to take on. Just
true. So, gentlemen, before we wrap this episode up with the final guys for Corpses for Conversation, let me hit you with this: would you buy this physical media? Yes or no?
Yes, definitely.
I haven't really bought much physical media myself. I buy a lot of digital. Even that being said, I didn't buy last year's, even digitally. And I mean, they would have to have some, I don't know, alternate scenes, something to really like reel me in to want to buy it. Other than that, I mean, I could just watch it on streaming.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the shortest horror correspondent ever, SoCal Leatherface. No, I don't want to hear that.
What the fuck?
You have to go back to listen to our other episode. Physical media is a thing still.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I have a big collection. I collect 4Ks. I love when they bring classic films and they upgrade them to 4K. Actually, I got the Texas Chainsaw as soon as I heard that was going 4K. I look forward to the upgrades of films. So it's not so much that I don't buy media anymore. I just have to really, really love the movie to want to do it. And since we're talking about this one in particular, I wouldn't buy it.
I want to wait for a complete box set of what they have so far. I still only own the Scream on DVDs. And like I said, like I hate the covers with all the actors. So I bought a lot of those Stab, like those custom covers, you know, Stab 1, Stab 2. And I just flipped out the covers.
Yeah, well, definitely. It depends on the behind the scenes. I would love to see the behind the scenes footage of the making of this movie. Definitely as far as the gore, you know, like the special effects and everything that they did with it, that would be very interesting to see.
All right, freaks and geeks, gals and ghouls, that is another episode of the Movie Disposal with the final guys. I am Toxic J, along with my horror correspondents,
SoCal Leatherface,
Dimebag.
All we want to do is just hear you scream.